Was it a righteous thing for Yahweh to give Israel a discipline there in the wilderness? We saw what they did. Every kind of imaginable, abominable thing that they had learned under the servitude of the Egyptians, they did it. Every kind of God, every kind of spirit, every kind of deity, they practiced some form of worship. You got families, that family's a Methodist, kinsmen now, they all have the same genetic heritage. You got those that go to this Baptist church, whole house. You got another family over here go to 5th James Baptist. You got one over here, all them cousins and sisters now. This one go to the 1st Lutheran. They're more, a little more dignified. Of course, you got the aunt over here. She goes to the Presbyterian. And then you got the brother, well, I'm a Catholic. But how is that? How does that kind of water flow out of the same kind of sister, out of one sister? How is that? Because he has given them up to their own lust and their own counsel to counsel them. Because they will not receive the doctrine of Omar Yah. So he's giving them over unto that. You got family sisters, 5 sisters and 5 brothers, and they all belong to different whole houses in the same city. Well, I'm going over here to Pastor Dave Roberts because he is a prosperity man. That is one of the most deception of doctrines in this nation today. These men are dogs. They're vile, pedophiles. They are corrupt. You will never hear them deal with the sins of the people. They're taking advantage of these silly women laid with sin. Daughters, if you're not laid with sin, you're not a silly woman. Now, if that offends you because you're a silly woman, they're taking advantage of these silly women laid with sin, showing off their buttocks, their titocks, and everything else. Got them raised high that their titties are out, their butts are out, and everything. And they are taking advantage of them. One of the preachers there in, he's not a preacher, he's not one of the Ra of Yah. But right there in Texas, in Arlington, one of the most fastest growing whorehouses in America. He was one of the most prolific men in America. He was one of the most well-known men in America, one of the most forth and upcoming young men in America. Hobnob with the elite, what they call the politicians and all there. 40 years old, very attractive wife, and yet he date raping, seducing the young women there, putting drugs in their drinks, raping them, taking advantage. Even his best man that stood with him, where there was no one there, only a virgin daughter, he raped her with a dog of hell. Don't tell me that's the form of Yah. That's not the doctrine or the discipline of Yah. His name is Hornbuck. You probably heard of him. He's of the Agape Christian Center. T.D. Jakes man. Deion Sanders man, chaplain to the Dallas Cowboys, and he's raping the daughters now. He's going to jail. Sure he is. He's going to jail. And you take a dog like a stare down there, a corrupt pervert, child of hell, and fools stand with a wicked dog like that. It is the truth. He's going to jail. He got more money than Stare got. He got 3 lawyers. And believe me, they're not shoddy lawyers. And he's raping the young girl, taking advantage of them. Had a seated hotel in this corrupt part of town. Tell them, I want to meet you, I got something for you. And then a lot of the women were just having it with him because he had the money. He was a sugar daddy. He had money. This is going on all over America. All over. That's why they don't touch those kinds of sins, because they're part of it. Why do you touch them? Because it keeps me away from it. That's why I touch on them. I don't want to be taken by that. Because when a man is overtaken by that, it is an idolatrous power in him. Believe me, it is just not the act. That is an idolatrous thing there. It is. That's why they want the young girls to come naked like that. That's why they want their cleavage out. I was reading the other day in Texas, they're telling the young girls, you're not coming with your cleavage out. You're going to have blood. This is secular now. Why are we such an ignorant jackass of a people? And I say that to us, to say we're the people of Yah. They're said, it is said, you're not showing no cleavage, you're not wearing, you're not showing your belly, you're not doing any of that. They say the young boys can't do their work because these young whores are going to school like dogs. I don't care if they're 200 pounds or 300, they're all 20 pounds or 80 pounds, they all do the same. It makes no difference, brothers and sisters, whether you believe that or not. That's why we need doctrine. And these strange doctrines tell them just be what you want to be, whatever you feel, how you feel. Not so. We are led. The doctrine of Yah teaches us we are led by the power of His truth. And His Torah is truth. And this is a generation of men that hold the truth of Yahweh in unrighteousness. They hold the truth in unrighteousness. And this man even said he did it. He was even taken by pharmaceutical. He was in the drugs. He was smoking crack and all of that now. Do you hear me? And yet, they let him out of jail. It dropped down to about 200 people. And now he's back up to 800 people that they steal. Because this is a generation that loves strange and vile doctrines. And there's another doctrine of Almighty Yahweh. A man that commits adultery with a woman that does that act of sin. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. He hates his own soul. He hates his own being. So if a man hates his being, how can he love someone else? If I go out here and commit adultery, having the truth and understanding the knowledge of his Torah on my wife, I hate my own soul. How can I love my neighbor as I love myself? It cannot be. Look at what a man says. Unless a man is truly born again, his heart has been born. The law, the Torah of Yahweh is there. The truth of Yahweh is there. That brings it alive when he will perform an act like that. The life of the Torah says, don't do it. Don't commit adultery. There's a power there to sustain him. But this damnable thing we call Christianity, because it has so many strange doctrines and forms. And seductive forms of darkness. They're doing everything. They're doing everything it is. And the people love it that way. Just give me things that itch my ears. T.D. Jakes said, I give the people what they want to hear. He said, I am a solid supporter of capitalism. You understand what capitalism is? It's a few greedy folks at the top, and you oppress and subject the subjects. It's not a free system where everybody make a dollar. That's a lie from hell. So this is what this man says. Capitalism, he said, I'm a capitalist man. Because he's a wealthy man. He's a rich man. Very wealthy man. So what he says, I despise the poor. So that air upon him, believe me, those 30,000 folks in there with T.D. Jakes, very few gets the chance to even talk with him. And he could give a knicker's worth of rat's dung how they feel. He could give a knicker's worth of rat's dung if their sons and daughters go to hell. He doesn't care because his son's going to ride Bentleys, Mercedes-Benz, and Cadillacs. They're not going to go to T.J. Maxx. They're not going to Walmart to shop. Believe me. His boy's not wearing those kinds of clothes. His daughters are not wearing that. They're wearing Rolex watches, and platinum watches. That's what they're wearing. They're not wearing $50 shoes. They're tennis shoes. They're not wearing, they're wearing what they call the best. Evangelist Hartsfield, he said to me, Brother Roberts, I want to ask you something. He said, this is a wicked world. He said, they call it the best. He said, how can it be the best when some faggot has made a pair shoes for you, or some sissy has designed a dress for you, and they call that the best? He said, the best is the cloak of Yah's righteousness. These fools. He's a very wise man. That's why I will always appreciate him. He put things in me like no one else. Yes, he did. Even though it was under the covenant of Christianity, he was the man that said his name is not Lord of God, Yahweh. And I've never forgotten that either. That's the first man that ever told me of that name. Although he did not use it, he was the first. The things that he taught me, he put a solid foundation there. And I will not capitulate for anyone. Hallelujah. Let me move on. So these that hold the Torah of Yahweh in unrighteousness, and we know that the righteousness of Yahweh is from everlasting to everlasting. His righteousness is the everlasting righteousness, and His Torah is the truth. See, they hold the Torah, the doctrine, the discipline of the Torah, they hold it in these corrupt, vile, sadistic minds. And they also change a little bit. Well, they would change just a little bit, the wording, the phraseology. That's all they do. They do not go and make a massive change. Just a little simplicity of words. Well, that's all right. But well, God understand. That's what they tell the people. Yahweh, no, He has given us the strength to do all things. We know who that strength is. We can do all things. And the power and the witness of that testimony of Yahshua HaMashiach, that strength in us. We can do all things through and in Yahshua. For He is the strength and the power of Yahweh's word, His Torah, His truth, His disciplines. So we're without any kind of excuse. None whatsoever. We're without. So the righteousness of Yahweh from everlasting to everlasting, and His Torah, the law of Yahweh, the disciplines, the statutes, the ordinance of Yahweh, that's our truth. That's what we base things upon. You cannot have a life or family that is based upon some kind of Zionism or your own establishment of principles. You must base them off something. And everything that Shatan does, he bases it upon the principle of truth. He simply alters the truth. That's all. Have you ever told a story? Listen to me now. And you knew that there were just some details of the story you left out that would not give a clear picture of the story. You ever done that? I've done that. I say things here. I say things before us. I would say, Deacon Benny, I didn't tell the whole story. As Paul Harvey says, now the rest of the story. I like listening to Paul Harvey. There was a station in Charlotte that had him on. It's something how they would take the man's voice, and the man's been dead, what, 6-7 years? And they still use the man's voice. They still make money off his voice. This is Paul Harvey. Good day. We always close like that. I used to love listening to Paul Harvey. Still do. Sometimes I'm riding, I may catch him on some station, and he will be glad to tell a story. And you say, "What? Where is that leading?" He will say, "I'll be back, and now this is the rest of the story." When you hear the end of it, you're like, "Oh, that's how it went, huh?" Good day, Paul Harvey. That's what he would do. Now, what we're hearing now is the rest of the story. Now, we saw it in the beginning. He's telling us the rest of the story. That's what HaMashiach came to tell us. Now, this is the rest of the story. I have things to tell you, but you're not able yet to bear them. You cannot understand them. You don't have the strength to endure them. But with the power of this witness of whom I am that comes, he will witness that this what I say, it is Alviaba, not something I establish. That's why we need the power of Almighty Yah, not this corrupt thing that we've allowed to fill our lives and fill our minds. We need His strength. I want to read this in Revelation. Turn to Gilead, Revelation chapter 2, verse 12. Now, these are the words unto Pergamos. We must understand I try to get understanding of things, and I try to understand things in a kind of thorough fashion. I may not get the thoroughness of it, but I try to. I try to research things out. Now, I don't have a lot of books. I have a few dictionaries and things like that, but they're good sources to get other information. We must understand that when we think about this place, Pergamos, it was a city. It was a place of great learning. They had over 100,000 volumes of books and things like that. It was a splendid city of gods and deities. We have in this nation right here alone. Do you know how many gods we have? That people use that expression God. Do you know how many we have in this nation? Do you know how many we have? We have 235,000 gods in America. 235,000. Which one is right? Which one is right? How does a man know which one is right? No witness of truth? No witness of his power? I want to know which one is right. And so Pergamos was this city of splendid of the temples unto Zeus and temples unto Mercury and Jupiter. Is not this nation like that? One of the most profound things in this nation, in this Jezebel spirit that we call the statue of liberty. It's no liberty. The only place where there's liberty, you know where it's at? Can I tell you, believe me? Where the Ruah of Yahweh is, where His spirit is, that's the only place of liberty. And it is not in America. It's not hovering over this nation. There is an idolatrous, deceived spirit that rules this nation. The doctrines of deception, the doctrines are vile, just like North America, whether they're in America or Canada, it makes no difference. Probably Canada, if they heard me preaching like this, they'd put me in jail. You can call them faggot dogs, faggots in Canada. No, sorry. You cannot disturb a Canada, the laws of Canada. They're very tough. You're not going to slander or preach some kind of hatred against a race or a people. Yet they're vile, they're corrupt, wicked. Yahweh is not in the midst no more than he's in the midst of America. No more he's in the midst of Russia. No more his hands over there. Yet the head of Yahweh, the heart of the king, is in the head of Yahweh. No more he's with Mr. Omar over there. And the Zionist movement, that is not of Yahweh. Nowhere in scripture, when Yahweh restored Israel, he had a profound prophet to stand up. And David Ben-Gurion was not a prophet. He's lying perverts of hell. He said the prophet, and he stood up with profoundness, and he spoke the dynamics of the word of Yah. David Ben-Gurion is not a prophet. And his people are going to come from every nation. That's the truth. So you got these lying boys, and everything's going to happen this month and next month. Well, nothing happened. Almost half the month is gone. And we'll see how they're going to retract. There's a man out there in Colorado. He writes me. He says these slanderous things to me. He calls me Pastor Russ David Robert. False prophet. David Robert. I got one of his letters. He says September the 13th. Huh? This whole thing is coming down now. After September the 13th, I'm going to write. I won't even write the fool. But I'm going to write him this time. And give him a copy of his letter. He said, now you're a false liar, aren't you? Are you the truth? That your prophecy was a true prophecy. I still hold on to that letter. Because I'm going to write the fool and let it. That's what he is, a fool. I said, you are very amazing, man, because you listen to me. He goes to our website all the time. He listens. Wonderful website, he tells me we have, but you're just missing it, David Robert. You're missing it, false Pastor Russ Robert. That's what he tells me. I deal with his corrupt sins, his wickedness. Hallelujah. It says here in Revelation, Gilead, chapter 2, verse 2. Listen to this, brothers and sisters. Yahweh says, and to the Melech of the congregation of Pergamos write, these things said he who has the sharp sword and two edges. Now we understand the sword of Yahweh because we know what his sword is. The word of Yahweh is quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing. And that's what the word of Yahweh does. Piercing even to the dividing asunder. It separates. It divides the flesh from the ruah. The soul from the ruah. That's what it does. Even the joints and the marrow. It is a discerner of the very thoughts and the intent of one's limb. Now that's the word of Yah. Do you hear me? That's the word of Yahweh. That's what it does. His word is sharp. With two edge. It is a powerful word. And so Yahweh says, now I am the one that speaks and I want you to hear me. I want you to understand what I'm saying. Verse 13. He says, I know your work and where you live, where you dwell, even where Satan's seat is. You tell me you know what the power of darkness, where his residency is? You know where his residency is in here today? Who can tell me? Can I tell you, will you believe me? Will you truly believe me? He's at the pinnacle of your mind, your heart. He rules in the realm of your mind. His false doctrines, his insinuations. That's how he rules. So Yahweh knows where the seat of Shaitan is. Oh, you thought he sat somewhere in some physical form. Oh, he's in the physical form, in bodies. Is Yahweh here today? Just only a few realize that, huh? Is Yahweh here today? Two or three, we gathered. One, two, we gathered in his name. He said, that will I also be in the midst. All right. He said, I know where the seat of Shaitan is. He said, and you hold fast now my name. Not the lordship, not the God damnable deities. You hold fast my name is what it says. Does it say that? It did not say you hold fast my title. You hold fast my name. And you have not denied my emunah, my faith. He said, I saw everything, even in those days where in Antipas, my faithful, was he faithful? Was the faithfulness of Abraham accounted unto him as righteousness? You think that, are we the seed of Abraham? Is he the father of Emunah? So you think our faithfulness is not going to be accounted unto us as righteousness as well? Did Yahweh give Abraham the Torah? Did he have a Torah? Did he have a written Torah? Did he have a law? Sure he did. He gave him doctrine. He said, who was slain among you where Satan dwell? What are you saying, preacher? You know what Torah teaches us? If we hate our brother or sister without a cause, what are we? What are we? We are murderers. He said, even when my faithful one, Antipas, as he reproved you and told you the truth, you despised him. There were those that hated him, and they destroyed him. They were a murderer of my faithful Mordecai. He would not give up. He did not capitulate. Yahweh says, but I have a few things against you. Now, that's profound. If he got not one thing, he's got a few things. What child wants mom or dad to have something against them when it's time to get a correction? You search your heart and try to figure out, did she know that? How did she find out that? No way she found that out. You ever done that? Oh, I have. How in the world she find? Who told her? How could she know that? I never had a he, so it had to be a she, all right? He says, but I have a few things against you. Listen to this. Because you hold there them that hold the doctrine of who? So you tell me that's the doctrine of Balaam? Hold fast the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast the stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to devils, to idols, and to commit fornication, a spiritual sin, showing unfaithfulness unto Almighty Yah, a mind given over unto the idolatry worship, and to permit oneself to be drawn away from the principles of Almighty Yah. Now that's what these doctrines of Balaam teach men. That's what Christianity is, the doctrine of Balaam. It's a doctrine that's based upon greed. They have gone greedily after the era of Balaam. It's a doctrine based upon greed and lust, lasciviousness. That's what it's based upon. It's not based upon the principles of the doctrine of Almighty Yahweh. That's what it's based upon, brothers and sisters. And that's the truth. You have taught them, and they hold fast the doctrine of Balaam. Now hold that. Don't lose that. Because I want to go back there. But I want you to turn to, hallelujah, I want you to turn to 1 Kepha, 1 Peter chapter 2, 14. Now hold that in Revelation because we're going back there. But I want you to see this. 1 Peter chapter 2, I know what scripture teaches us. So I understand the doctrine of Balaam. It says in 1 Peter 2, 14, it says the doctrine of Balaam, now this is what it promotes. These are the tenets or some of the principles of it. He said, first of all, having eyes full of adultery, 1 Peter 2:14. When one relapses into idolatry and self-gratification, eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin. Now, when a man has an eye full of adultery, they cannot cease from sin. We know what sin is, right? For we know that sin is a transgression of Torah. That's what sin is. They regress, they relapse into idolatry. And brothers and sisters, think of this. When your mind relapses into idolatry, becomes so centralized on idols and things and acquiring, don't you know that's idolatry? That's not of Almighty Yahweh. He says that they have eyes full of adultery, cannot cease from sin. And look who they entice. Entice unstable what? They entice the unstable ones. The weak ones, the feeble ones, the weak-minded ones. A love, a heart they have exercised with what? Covetousness. Say it loud. Covetousness. Now, is this doctrine today of Balaam one taught of covetousness? God wants you to be rich. God wants you to have what your heart desires. That's not what Scripture says. We delight ourselves in Almighty Yah. And he will give us the desires, the very desires of our love. What is the desire of your love? A Cadillac or a house on the hill? That's not of Yah. We look for a kingdom whose builder and maker is Almighty Yahweh. We look for a city where his Ruah dwells. So they are, and they have hearts, have they exercised with covetousness, this greedy desire, this greedy practice, this voracious greed. And he says that they practice these things. And what does it say about their children? Curse children. You bring them up in these doctrines of hell and the children are cursed. They're cursed, even they are cursed. And what they produce is curse. Why? Verse 15. which have forsaken the tzaddik or the righteous way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved what? Who loved the wages of unrighteousness. And that is what these doctrines teach you. It teaches you to have a love for the wages of unrighteousness. People will lie, they will cheat in everything for their unrighteous ways, for their covetous desires. And so these liars, I heard a preacher the night. When was that? Thursday. I was listening. I was just scatting. It's amazing because you find it in all ethnicities of the world, especially among the people of color. You find more apostles than you find anything. So this man was an apostle. So I sit there about 25 minutes. I say, Yahweh, why did I waste your time listening to a foolish ignoramus that touched nothing of strength, nothing of power? But he was an apostle now. Apostle something right here in South Carolina. He's telling the folks, your destiny and what you need is in your hand, and for it to come to pass, you must speak it. You will never see your destiny until the word rise up in you, until you speak your destiny. What's in your mind? Well, your mind is damnable, it's corrupt, it's vile, and it is evil. He said, that's Almighty Yah. That's why you need the matter of Hamashiach. Hamashiach's mind spoke all things that please Almighty Yahweh. And so what you must do is claim what you desire, and if you desire that, it shall come to pass. Speak and it shall be, because, listen to this, you all don't hear me. And I was saying they sure do not hear him, because he is a fool, and you cannot tell that crowd of folks. And of course they went and into their little spiritual realm, this craziness. He pulled out everything. He said, I'm giving everything I have today. Well, I'm quite sure you knew exactly what you had in there. Maybe $60, $50, whatever you had. You knew what you was giving. You had planned things out. He pulled it out. Look, give me a big basket. I'm putting everything in here. And all of that, I'm putting the change out of my pocket. God said, don't go back with nothing. Oh, I know you just want to see for the next harvest. We got plants over there that you saw that fence out there. We did that because we're going to put those plants out. And for what we have in plants and food, we could go out here to the grocery store and buy that in cabbages and broccoli to take us through the winter. Can't do that. You buy $3 worth of broccoli seeds, you got 3,000 broccoli plants. If you plant them all, it makes sense to me. So I put $500 in the fence. The bag of broccoli costs in the wintertime, it costs about $6.35. Do some of that every week. It doesn't take much to add up to $500. That adds up quick. So he tells them, bring your offering. Everybody, I want you to bring it. Give everything. You will never get what you want. You're in your condition because you haven't given all. This wicked man. This greediness. Now, I listened for one reason. I said, Yahweh, I want to see if he touched just one sin. The transgressing of Torah. I want to see if he just deal with the adulterous activities and the vile nature there. He did not touch one sin. Not one thing. It is one thing about the powerful strength of the apostles, the Shulishians of Yah. They took forth the power and the dynamics of that truth, and they went everywhere. And they spoke it with a profoundness like no other man on the earth since that time has spoken it. Until he raised up that profound spirit of Elijah and dogs. These men today, they call themselves walking in the spirit of Elijah. They're not walking in that spirit. They have no resurrected power, the life of the word in them, no whatsoever. Period. And I would tell them that. And I would have told that man, I would have said, you're not an apostle. But I tell you what, you carry yourself as an apostle because you're going to stand before Almighty Yah to be judged as one. They knew his name. When they heard his name, they did not deny it. They received it. These men have no authority of any kind of shalishianship. They have no bishopric. None whatsoever. Period. They have none. They hold the truth of Yahweh in unrighteousness. They cause the people to forsake the right way. What is the right way? This Torah, his word. And they go greedily after the error of Balaam. I want this. God said I could have it. I claim that. God said, if you can think of it, claim it in your mind. Because the power in you, don't you know that you are gods? Yeah, they are gods. Don't you realize that there is nothing that if you desire it, it's because God has put it there. They don't hear me. You don't hear what I'm saying. No, they're trying to guard their pocketbooks in the sense because he even told the folks that God said to him, go borrow $5,000 and give every nickel and pay it back in monthly installment. Well, Yahweh tell us, he doesn't tell us that. He tells us, oh, no, man. We shouldn't be a servant unto another. These are liars, though. But these are the strange doctrine that people want. This is what they want. Because they're covetous. And so they can have a huge, big old house. I was reading Brother Charles the other day that the houses that they're building today are so inferior. The material that they're putting in the houses that people are so complaining they're spending $300,000-$400,000 for these traps. There's nothing there. They're no more than what these fabricated homes they do. Those are probably built better than those. That's the truth. And they raising up these communities like you raise up anthills, like the fire ants around here. And they're nothing but trash, paper, mache images to twiddle these little twitty minds. And they become slaves and servants to a dog to pay for something like that. That is not Yahweh. That is crazy. That is stupidity. That is not Yah. So the doctrines are based upon Balaam. It comes right out of the loins of those of Pergamos. Because they hated the truth of Yah. They hated those that spoke the truth. They despised them. And Antipas, one that rose up with the great zeal and the zest of Yah to reprove them, they killed him. Because he reproved their sins. We've never done that. Whereby we become cold toward one because he shows us our sins. Children, you never gotten cold toward mom or daddy because they tell you you're hard-headed. You're rebellious, you little hard-headed thing. You couldn't have had my grandmother because she would have done you some damage. That's just the truth. My grandmother, when I was in junior high school, I was in high school really. I was on the track team. And we had a track meet. And so I had a little confrontation with my natural cousin, the one that his brother killed him, because my grandmother lived with him, with her mother, with his mother. There was almost a favoritism with them than my mother's. And so we had a little confrontation. She gets upset with me. He was in the wrong. She took my track shoe, and the old woman broke my thumb. Bam! She literally broke my thumb. Well, I didn't know what to do because I knew this big knot on my finger. And I said, what do I do? So I went to school. And when I got to school, I literally lied. I went to the health department. At that time, they had a little nurse back then in the schools. Or the principal's office, I don't recall. And I said to them that my thumb is hurt. They said, how do you do it? I said, well, when I went to open the door in the school, it hit my thumb. And it's like this. So they took me to the hospital. And that's what the old woman had done. She literally broke my thumb, and she was not apologetic of it either. Didn't make it any different. She didn't care about that. Not one bit at all. Not one bit at all. So my grandmother, she was a very ferocious woman. She did not play around. And I had enough sense not to speak back to her when she did that or to say anything to her. I had enough sense not to do that. Because if I did, she would have went farther than that. That was a light thing there. Hallelujah. This generation has gone greedily. Not only have they forsaken the right way and gone astray and fall after the way of Balaam, the son of Bozar, but they love the wages of unrighteousness. They don't love the principles of Almighty Yahweh. They don't love the doctrines of Yahweh. We must love the doctrines of Yahweh. Go back to Revelation chapter 2, verse 8. He said, I have the few things against you, Gilianoth 2:14. Those that follow the doctrine of Balaam, they have cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel. They're eating things that are committed unto idols and their religious practices, Catholicism and all these religious practices. They're given over unto idolatry worship. They permit themselves to be drawn away into some form of religious practice. Verse 15. He says, so have you them there that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which I hate. Now, there are two forms of doctrines. You hear me? The doctrine of Balaam and the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Now, the scripture doesn't tell us much about the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Now, in order for you to understand that doctrine, you must search scripture. Now, next Shabbat, I want to continue there. I want to express to us and show us the insidious power of the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. I want you all to hear this again because I want you all on this week to search the scriptures. Challenge this preacher. So when I get up here next Shabbat, that I will not lead you astray with some strange doctrine, okay? Some twisted form of a doctrine. He said, I hate, he says, so have, verse 15, so have you also them that hold, that become the masters of the doctrines of the Nicolaitans, which I hate. Now there's a form of a doctrine. We must understand the tenets and the principles of that doctrine to understand why Yahweh hates it. And scripture must have to give us the tenets of that doctrine. We must understand that so that we will not fall into the grip of the power of that. Yahweh said that doctrine of all I hate. You all hear me? He said that doctrine. I hate it. I despise the doctrine of Balaam, but the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, I hate it. The tenets of it, the principles, what it's based upon. That. You think he put words that must not to search him out? Study. 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 No one wants to study today. We got time for every kind of folly. We got time for the meat for our bellies. Nobody wants to study. I said to Deacon Benny, I found that scripture, Deacon Benny. I said, Deacon Benny, we got to get this work done today. I said, let's roll. Of course, Deacon Benny, he said, here we go. Those are his words. Here we go. Here we go. I always tell him, here we go, Dick. I said, Deacon Benny, let's roll. I said, because there's a scripture in my left, I got to find it. I know what it says, but I got to find it. And I said, let's roll, let's get this done, and so I can go home and I can find it. I found it too, Dick. I found the scripture. I said, well, I got to find it, because when Yahweh put something in my heart like that, I just, there's a doctrine that he hates. If he hates something, I want to know the principle of that doctrine. I'm just that ignorant and that dumb. I'm not smart like some of y'all. I don't have the intellectual properties that you claim you have. I don't have it. I'm just being honest. I'm being forthright. I'm being honest. I don't have that intellectual capacity. I don't. That's why I must continuously refresh, be taught, be instructed. I don't have it. You may have it, but I don't have it. But Yahweh says something here that is profound. Is this not the apocalypse? Is this not the apocalypse here? Is this not the book that they call the apocalypse? Is this not the book they call the apocalypse? Is this not the book they call the apocalypse? The very revelation of HaMashiach. And he gives us something here to pray about. He said, there's a doctrine of the Nicolaitans. I hate it. He said, I hate it. I hate that doctrine of the Nicolaitans. And there's nowhere in scripture where it talks about, but there are things in scripture that gives us understanding of the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Shaul talks about it. David talks about it. It's in the book. So I'm giving you some hints so you study. You won't do it. Hallelujah. This will elude you as soon as you get out of here. That's the truth. Hallelujah. I was listening the other day to a report. This man, let me show you something. How was she? I want to read a few more things before I close, but I want to say this. He and his friend and his friend's sister, the parents own a bank. I want to show you something. And this man was a tough gambler. And the matter of fact, he gambled. I mean, he would play poker. Hear me, brother. Not dollar poker when I was growing up, what we played. Do you hear me, son? $60,000 a hand. $60,000. And they were flying all over the world to gamble because he was a gambler. He was a gambler. So what the bank would do, the brother and the sister, they established him a checking account. So he could write checks for $3-5 million. I'm sure what they did now. Now they would put a boy in prison for writing a note, say, I got a gun, give me your money. They give him 50 years. They got a slap on their wrist now. That's the system. And he sat down one day at the table. As a matter of fact, when Mike Tyson fought Lennox Lewis, that fight, he made a bet of $300,000 on Tyson. So he lost. He sat down at the table. He sat down with his chip. They will fly him all over the world. When you're that kind of gambler, they fly you anywhere they want, you want to. You stay in the 5-star hotel. You eat the finest of food because, believe me, they're getting their money from you. But they want you to think that they're doing something for you. And they will fly the man all over the world. Lear jets, private jets. Because when he sat down to gamble, he may drop $3-4 million. He sat down one day, he won $8 million. Bam! $8 million. Went to his hotel, right down in the casino. Bathed up, got him a little sleep, something to eat. And he came back. That $8 million went up to $10 million. Around $12 million.
The only thing he'd do is quit. You would think he could quit, couldn't he? You would think he would, wouldn't he?
Knowing that he has robbed the bank now. Then the bank went under. The bank folded. All the people that put their money in there. Now, you must understand the FDIC, they only insure your money. You know what's insured now? 20 cents on the dollar. 20 cents. So the bank goes under. That you get 20 cents if you got $10,000, you get $200. It's a rip-off thing. I don't trust no banks, really. Do like granddaddy did. Put it in a tin can. It'll be all right. You get it smelly, go change it out for some new money. So the bank went down. The boy, if anything, they say he may get a couple of years of probation. But he sat there when he won the 10 grand. He got about 10 or 12 mil. He looked at that. He knew he was rolling. Can I tell you what he walked out of that with? He lost every single dime. His last chip, he stood there and watched until they took that. And the whole bank and all those little folks that had their monies and the bank, they lost their money because the bank became insolvent. They lost their monies. This is the spirit of this doctrine of Balaam and the Nicolaitans. We must understand the spirit and the strength of it. It is the same thing in what we call in Christendom. They take their chances. They gamble. They don't, believe me, these folks of hell, they don't give to get for Yahweh to bless them. They give because they got a greedy, lascivious, covetous desire, and they want that for fear. We must understand what the Nicolaitans taught. We must know that. And the way you're going to find it out, like I did, you got to search Scripture. A little sleep, a little fold in the hand, you come to poverty. We like to sleep, don't we? We like to fold our hand, but we don't like to study. You don't want to miss our beauty nap. I said to my wife this morning, because prayer was last night, I had a wonderful time. I enjoy coming to prayer. When I realized it was Jermaine was walking in, really. But I tend to on that day, I used to get up and come to prayer. I got up this morning at 9 because I don't go back to bed when I leave from here. I get up at 3. I may go back to bed maybe 5. It depends. Sometimes 5:30, just depends. Well, I slept this morning. I heard something wrong when she got up. I usually get up. This morning I slept at 9, so I was so disoriented at 9. I just don't feel right. I don't, because my body functions at a certain time, and there's certain things I do in the morning as a certain process that my body goes through, and it helps me, gives me vitality during the day. And so this morning, because I didn't go through that process, I feel a little sluggish, you know. I don't feel right. I don't have that energy like I should because I got up too late. I said to Sister Rosa, I'll never do that again. I mean that. Because it just takes something out of that practice of discipline. He always said he hates the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. I want to close with this right here. I want to establish some principles of the doctrine of this Balaam. It says in Yehuda, Jude chapter 1, listen to this. Jude chapter 1, verse 1, or verse 11. It says to us, it says, woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain, and they have ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward. Now that is the principle, the tenet of the doctrine of Balaam. It's a greedy desire. They run greedily after it. How many of you all going to give $500? I was reading the other day that T.D. Jakes, this child of hell, had a conviction. He said, I want everyone to give $600. And there were tens of thousands of people there. He said, you that give $600, you're going to be blessed today. You that don't, you will not give it. Can you imagine the fruitcase? As a matter of fact, the person who wrote the article said, I gave $600 because he was so convincing. Because they run greedily after the error of Balaam. Don't you know that there are people that listen to this broadcast, listen on the live stream, and they're blessed their home. There's some sense of stability in their home, and they will not send one nickel. I don't beg for money. We don't do that. They will not send a dime. They will not send a dollar. And they will listen every day faithfully. Some on their jobs. They will listen at work all day long. T.D. Jakes said, I want everyone to give $600. How many folks, even if you were out there, you would not have $600 disposable cash? And the place lit up with folks giving $600. That's a nice haul. If you got 1,000 people to give $600, how much money is that? How much? Say it out. How much? Well, that's a nice haul, isn't it? That's a nice haul. You talking about when T.D. Jakes goes to a place, he doesn't get
We got 50 folks here. And that's counting the youngest and babies and all. T.D. Jakes, you got folks that's dying to get in, can't get in. He doesn't go to a little whole house that seats 2,000 or 3,000 people. And if you do, you're gonna kick out the door. Need fossil off the door, guys. He doesn't need that because he can go to any auditorium that seats 50,000. He fill it up. And so that kind of money that comes in. Can you imagine the cash when he looks at that $100 bill? He say, "Well, let me see. Okay." Believe me, he takes an entourage with him that counts every nickel. That those that he are his faithful, trustworthy ones. He say, "Oh, hey, Dick, take 5,000, 10,000. What do you need? Take it. I'm put 50,000 in my pocket. That's all right." I think we'll put 200,000 and put 200,000 cash in there. Don't worry about it. You need something, you take it. He doesn't have that many in his entourage that there's no mistrust for. He trusts them because he takes care of them. And old Deacon going to put that in old Pastor Robert's bag. I got you 200,000. I put another extra 25. Oh, bless you, Deacon. God bless you. I only took 30,000. Take another 10,000. Believe me, brothers and sisters, that's how they do it. Daddy, I need some money. How much you need? Daddy, I want to. They got this. What's it called? How much is it? How much is it, son? Daddy, if I tell you. What is it, son? Daddy, please. It's 8,000. Take the credit card. Go get it. That's how they do it. They rob the people because they're running greedily after the era of Bala. They after Cain, they'll destroy anyone. They run. They have gone the way of Cain. They will kill off the righteous truth of Yah. They will kill those they give them Torah discipline. Because they're greedy, they have that doctrine of Balaam. They will not receive you. They will look at you and say, you fool, man. Come on, brother. They'll tell you you're a fruitcake. Come on, deacon. Come on, brother, you man. We're blessed. We got it there after the era of Cain. They run greedily after the era of Cain. They will kill you. They will destroy you. A Baal. And they will tell you, Brother Dale, I'm blessed. You ain't got what I... that. But they're not blessed. It's a false delusion. The doctrine of the Nicolaitans. On next week, I will begin that. Show us the tenets and the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. And Yahweh say what is based upon. Listen now, don't forget this. Yahweh says, I hate it. The doctrine of the Nicolaitans, I hate it. And we better know what it is so that we will not fall prey to that strange doctrine and that doctrine of seduction. You will understand the tenets and the principles of it. And pray this week that Yahweh bless me to understand those things. May Yahweh bless you all. May He give you strength. May He bless you all today. Wonderful crowd today. My, this place will be full if all you all that are listening were here. Bless you all, wherever you're listening from, your location, whatever city, whatever place. We bless you all this day. May Yah give you strength. Bless you, Brother Nathan, all you. Brother Irvin there, we bless you all. Brother James and Teresa, we bless you all. Everyone that is listening, we bless you all, wherever you're listening. I want to say this before we close. On tomorrow, won't be no celebration, no special meal. I may have Sister Dean to fry me some more of that fish now, depending on what we have in. What I thought about this morning, Yahweh has blessed Sister Robinson and I, 29 years of marriage. Can I say this to you all? He has blessed me to be a man that has been faithful to my wife. If nothing else, the character of my strength. That should be enough to realize that, Yahweh has helped me all these years. 29 years of marriage, I bless Yahweh for that. Faithful companion, and faithful to me, and has reciprocated that from her. And I do bless Yahweh for that. I thank Him. Never desired, never contemplated some other woman or designed that. I just desire my wife. That's enough for me. It's enough to bless my heart. I bless you always for that. No, we're not going to have a pastor's appreciation or wife anniversary. I just bless you always for that. These years have passed. They've all been very pleasurable years. We've had our little stumbles along the way, but they've still been sweet. I was telling Deacon Ben about a little incident yesterday. It was still sweet. They've been sweet. And I bless you always for that. Wonderful wife for 29 years, faithful all these years. And I bless you, Sister Roberts. Thank you kindly for those years. Thank you for your faithfulness and bless you for your friendship. And although we've wounded each other because we're wounded in the house of friends. And so we've been wounded. We've wounded each other. But I thank you, sister. And I say that so everyone can hear it. I bless you, my friend and my sister, faithful companion. All these years that have stood by me and haven't complained about a Cadillac. Or silk dress. Never wanted those kinds of things. My wife never. And I bless Yahweh for that. I used to buy silk dresses. Of course, back then I was making good money. Back then I'd pay $125 for a dress. Why you buy me this? I won't have them big, thick gold necklaces. I won't have pearls. He said, no, I don't want no pearls. Look what I got for you. He said, why do you do that? Big diamond ring. Yeah, I did, brother. She never wanted that. And I bless you all the way for that. I want her to have it. I want you to have that. Big diamonds. I asked Mr. Roberts a diamond ring. I tell you what that thing probably cost back then, probably $10,000. And then undoubtedly, she really didn't want it. We were in Florida. I took it to a jeweler. He looked at that. He looked at me like, where you get the money to get this from? I said, looking, white boy. And we were in Florida. Let me show you. We were in Florida. She was sitting there. We were waiting on this boat. We were going to take a ride on the water and a boat. We had just gone down there, she and I. And she had the ring in her lap. And she was, you know how women are. You want to, your hands get a little tight. And so you put a little lotion on your hand. And she was putting some lotion on her hand. And come on, Brother Patrick. And I said, the boat is coming. The ferry. We got to go. And she jumps up, throws herself in the pocketbook. And she dropped the ring. I don't know what happened to it. Maybe somebody picked it up. And, of course, we out on the water. She said, oh, I lost my ring. So, oh, my goodness. Wonderful she lost it. Thank you. She's never desired those things. Honestly, brothers and sisters, can I tell you all this? If I got to sleep out in a thatch hut, she'll go with me. If I got to sleep on the ground, she may tell me to put some leaves under there so we can be comfortable. That's all that matters. She'll go. And I bless Yahweh for that. I thank you for that. She's never been a sister with me complaining and murmuring. I want that or crying about this and that. And we don't have this. I want that. Why we don't have this? Why we not like them? What you do with that? She never. I bless Yahweh for that. I thank you, Yah. Okay, well, I bless him for that. I do. So she's been a wonderful spouse. And I bless you for that. So I thank you, wife, for everyone. 29 years. What are you going to do? Probably get up in the morning, come to prayer. May have a little fish, depending on what we're having tomorrow. I sure don't want no beef or nothing like that. I may have to pull me some fish out of the box there. Hallelujah. So I bless you all for that. Thank you, wife. Thank you. And bless you all. Bless you all. Thank you for that, wife. All these years, faithfulness and the commitment. It's been a wonderful 29. I say if we make it to next year, it'll be 30. So maybe we'll have a fish dinner. Is that all right, Brother Pat? That's all right. All right. If Yahweh shall give me strength in life. And I've enjoyed every day of it. I've enjoyed our marriage. I've never contemplated. Listen to me, bro. I've never said in my mind I will leave my wife. Never. Never. I want to leave. Nothing she could do to me. So I want to leave. Nothing she could do to me. I'm just leaving that house. You can make me sick, woman. Never. Never, son. She can attest to that. She left me one day. She said, I did leave it. I knew she was. Where is she going? Little bag. She walks out. I just said that. I said, she'll be back. Glad she did that because it was nice and fun after that. So she'll be back. You should that she came back with that's wonderful. I like that. She walked around the corner. I know it was just getting a little dark. By the time she got back, it was just darkness settling. That was all right. But I never felt like that. I never wanted to leave her. I never wanted to be unfaithful. I never saw women that I was attracted to. I wanted other women. Never. Never, 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 never. Never saying I want another one. Never. Never, 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 never. It was one thing that I learned as a young lad. I said it like this. I didn't know Yahweh's name. I said, God, if you give me a wife and children, well, he never gave me a physical, biological child. That's all right. I have no problem with that. I'm all right with that. I don't cry behind that. Really. I'm happy for you in the Sharia. I am. Why? Because when she gets to crying like that, take it. Sister Rollins, get away. I told Sister Horn, she treats me like nothing. She take advantage of me. She used me for the moment. Then she'll look at me, and she would just go to crying. I told Sister Robert, tell Aquila, I'm going to whip her. She whip her, all right? She gets to crying on me. She throws away like trash. But I don't have a problem with that. I really don't. I'm blessed. Deacon Benny's boys. That's all right. I'm blessed with Evangelist Horn's son. They honor me. But I don't have no problem with that. I really, really do not. I'm happy for the ones that do. As far as I'm all right. I really am. Did I want you? I'm sure I did. But I said this one day. I said, God, if you ever give me a wife and children, I'll be a daddy. I'll be faithful to my wife. Because I watched my mother as a very loose woman do things. It was horrendous. I didn't want to do that. It was wrong. I didn't like it. I didn't like that. And I said, I will be faithful to her. And I will never, I've never thought about leaving my wife. I've never wanted you to. I would never put under that kind of shame. I wouldn't even now with one leg short of the other, above nothing. Whew. Nah. I stay with her until she dies. I die one. Told you, man, if something happens to me, y'all take care. And he looked me in my eyes. He said, I will. I know he will. Y'all take care of my wife. Nothing I can do for y'all. Look after Sister Robert. Got that little short leg. She'll be all right. She won't give you no problem. Hmm? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I bless your wife. Y'all, we bless you all. You that are listening, we bless you all today. Come on and stand with us and sing this song. Hallelujah. Way. Our song, may Yahweh bless you all, you that listen wherever you are.
So let there be love shed
yes.
Among us.
Let there be a love in our lives.
May now your love sweep
this house. Cause us Yahweh, to arise, give us a prayer. Bless you all, Sister Tucker, you all that Brother Tucker. Brother Nathan, we bless you. Greetings to all those that are listening with you, wherever you are. Brother James there in Brooklyn, New York. We bless you in Mount Vernon, New York.
Love shed among us. Let them be a love.
Come on, grab your neighbor's hand. Come on, everyone.
So let there be a love shed among us. Let there be a love in our life. May now your love sweep this house. Cause us Yahweh to arise, give us a fresh understanding, a brotherly love that is real. So let there be a love shed among us. Let there be.
Come on, look in your neighbor's eyes and sing that with great compassion.
So let there be a love shed among us. Let there be a love in our love. May now your love sweep this house. Cause us Yahweh to arise, give us a fresh understanding, a brotherly love that is real. So let there be a love shed among us. Let there be a love.
Come on, one more time.
So let there be love shed.
Bless you all, our friends, our listeners. We greet you all. If I didn't call your name, I bless you. Thank you kindly. You send an offering or a gift this week. The address is on the website. Bless the neighbor here. You that have given, we bless you. Thank you kindly. Your sure, mighty name. He will bless you and enrich you. Ah, yes.
To arise, give us a fresh understanding, a brotherly love that is real. So let there be love shed among us. Let there be a love.
In all things we do bless you, Almighty God. We thank you for your kindness, your tenderness. We pray that the words today will be a strength unto the heart of your people. Bless them all, I pray. We do want to call our Pastor Aji, those that are gathered there in Ghana. Precious man, I sense it. This letters strengthen him today. The Shabbat day be a wonderful blessing to them. And help us that we may help them.
We will do it, Omar and Yon. You know that, regardless. And Pastor Babu there in India, the flood waters. We as a people in this nation do not comprehend the things that are taking place with other brothers and sisters. They live in abject poverty, just so, not even toilet tissues to wipe the feces from their body. They can't bathe like we do, and we murmur and complain. Elder Martin there in Nigeria, the drought, the Islamic, sadistic fascism of darkness that rules their poor country, yet with great resources. I pray for those men, Yah. You strengthen them. And Pastor Joy Griffin there in Okeechobee Prison. Elder Basu here and Federal Penitentiary here. I pray for those men that you will strengthen them and help them. Lives that are much more difficult in the natural than mine and us. But yet I sense a great fervor of love for you because of situations. Say to them, all that I can trust in is the word of Yah. So bless them. Give me that same heart of faith and love. Strengthen them all, I pray, whoever they are. Bless of all of our brothers and sisters that are in tremendous chaos, needs so perplexed, Yah. Just the minimum necessities, Yah. Bread and water. Feed them this day, I pray. We ask all things in the name of HaMashiach, the Lamb. Yisrael, we bless you and we thank you. And all of his people cry hallelujah. Hallelujah.